The Apostle Paul lived the life of a missionary by traveling the countryside and preaching the gospel. Paul knew that God called him to be content, whether he had enough or was in need. Paul gave his time and heart for Christ, confident that Christ would give him the strength he needed no matter what the circumstance. Hear these words from Paul's letter to the Philippian church as he teaches the people to be grateful in all situations. Please rise in body and spirit for the reading of Paul's letter, chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates by your account. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice available and pleasing to God, and my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his wishes in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
What would lead a first century rabbi to travel thousands of miles by sea and by land, to be beaten, imprisoned, and ultimately beheaded for his faith? It was a call to turn the world upside down. This is the story of the Apostle Paul, whose writings continue to shape the lives of one-third of the world's population. A man second only to Jesus in his impact and influence on the Christian faith, and whose witness defines what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Paul's ministry is one that really defies all logic. He went from a guy that was persecuting Christians to spreading the gospel and growing churches for Jesus Christ. His writings are read more than most about anything that we read. Paul's story is about a bad guy turned to good. We're continuing our story this morning as we continue to look at the call of Paul and as we start to sort out our own call in life. Today we look at how we are called to give to Christ. The Apostle Paul is a shining example of how we are called to focus on God and to focus on God's will. Paul spent his entire ministry, once he was called by Christ, using the power and the resources of Jesus Christ, and they drove every single move he made. Every journey he took, every way he traveled, were guided by Jesus Christ. Paul teaches us in so many different ways that wherever we focus our time and money on, that's where our heart will be. Paul taught in Acts, and there's a lot in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and in his letters to the churches, that God desires our individual focus to be intentionally on the things that are of Jesus Christ, not on our own desires. Paul's call to follow Jesus Christ included being called to give. Now, in the church, we talk about giving, and it's what we put in the plate, but there's so many more profound ways to give to Jesus Christ than just in putting money in the plate. In fact, if we look at Paul's life, we see what he gave, and actually we see what he gave up in order to follow Jesus Christ. Paul gave up the comforts of his home for a vagabond, journeying kind of guy life. He gave up his freedom numerous times because he was imprisoned for speaking about Jesus Christ in places where they didn't want to hear about Jesus Christ. Paul gave up his position of high power in the Jewish council. He was a bigwig in the Jewish church, and he gave up that power and that position to follow Christ. Paul gave up his agenda for persecuting Christians. He took that agenda very seriously. He got letters of recommendation that said, yep, you can go persecute Christians. It's okay with us. Paul gave up worrying about where he would stay when he went from town to town, and what he would eat, and if he would have enough money, and if he would even have his basic needs met. He gave up control of knowing where his next meal was going to be, knowing where he was going to lay his head the next night. And Paul ultimately gave up his life for his call to Jesus Christ by being put to death. And the video told us that he was eventually beheaded for being a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul knows what it's like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul exemplifies for all of us what it means to give our whole heart in service, to give our whole heart in prayer, to give our whole heart and our lives and the comforts that money can buy in order to follow Christ. Christ doesn't want our leftovers of time and money and service. Christ wants our heart and wants us to give to Christ first. Christ wants us also to make space in our hearts. We have to give up a few things to make space in our hearts in order to be able to put Jesus Christ first. And then everything else will fall into place. Scripture tells us the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts. Things will fall into place if we put our trust and all of our lives in Jesus' hands. In Paul's letter, what was read today is actually sort of two sections. There's a section on prayer, and there's this section on Paul not worrying about being in need. In chapter 10, or in verse 10, it says, "I rejoice in the Lord that you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have." Paul says, "I know what it is like to have little. I know what it is like to have plenty. I know what it's like to go hungry, and I know what it's like to go fed, and I am content in all those situations." Paul is content enough to say, "I'm going to get what I get, and I won't throw a fit." With that kind of trust in Jesus Christ, all of Paul's needs were always met in some way, shape, or form. And Paul did all he could while Christ was meeting his needs. He did all he could to share about the salvation that came in Jesus Christ, to share that message around the Mediterranean, all around the Roman Empire. And he did this when he had nothing to live on. He had the shirt on his back, and that was it. For Paul, prayer was the key to that kind of trust. He lifted up his needs and his concerns in prayer, asked Christ to guide him, and continually prayed for God to take him the next steps. That kind of prayer and that kind of trust leads us to not worry. In verse 6, it says, "Do not worry about anything, But in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I have a question for you. We spent January and part of February on prayer, 7 weeks. We talked about different ways to pray, ended up with a prayer kind of interactive day. And my question for you is, how often do you pray? You don't have to answer it out loud. This is for yourself. How's it going since we had some instruction in February? In Paul's scripture, in the letter to the Thessalonians, Paul says to pray without ceasing. What's that about? What if you prayed without ceasing? What if you prayed in all circumstances? Now, we don't have to have elaborate prayers to pray without ceasing. We just have to pray without ceasing. We just have to lift up to the Lord. I'm going to give you a couple of easy ways to pray without ceasing. If you're in a tough situation, a simple "help me, Lord" is a prayer. "Guide me, Lord." "Calm my worries, Lord." "Heal my friend." "Heal my family member." "Bring peace to this situation over here." "Guide us safely to our destination." All of those are praying without ceasing. It's little prayers that can be lifted up throughout the workday, throughout your time at home, as you wake, as you go to bed, lifting up in prayer each and everything that's happening in your life. Not elaborately, just connecting to the Lord. Prayer is another way that we can give to Christ. Giving Christ your mind and being so tuned in to Jesus that prayer pops up all the time. You see an ambulance, you say a prayer for him. You see a police car, you say a prayer for whatever situation that's being handled. You feel afraid in the dark, lift up a prayer. That's letting God have your heart and praying without ceasing. And there is peace when we live in this way, when we continually just lift them up throughout our day, throughout our living, throughout our coming and going. Are you willing to pay such a price as to give Christ your whole being? That's really what giving to Christ is, giving Christ your heart, your whole being. When you do that, an amazing sense of peace can permeate your heart and your life. And it will impact the decisions that you make. It will impact the way that you live your life in all the different ways. It will permeate all of your decisions. Giving as a way to positively impact others can show up in a variety of ways. In the visits that you make, in the care calls that you make, in the cards that you feel led to send. I want to tell you about how giving and care for others showed up with a group of youth from the Coralville Church. In the summer of 2011, we took 15 youth and 6 leaders to Rockford, Illinois for a mission trip, and then we went to Purdue University for the Youth 2011 event. It's a event that's held every 4 years in the United Methodist Church that gathers youth from all over, mostly the United States, but they come in from all over the world for a youth gathering and a time of worship and of prayer and of mission. And there's speakers and there's Christian rock bands and there's worship and exhibits and all kinds of learning experiences over the course of 4 days. It's a profoundly meaningful event. At the exhibits, and if you've ever been to annual conference, anybody been to annual conference? Some of you? Some of you have. Or any sort of conference, there's usually an exhibit hall where people sell their wares, right? They're, you know, different in the Methodist Church, it's different mission kind of things are represented around the hall. And that's kind of how it is at these youth events. They went to a booth that they were talking about fair trade coffee and fair trade chocolate. And then they were so intrigued by what they heard that they went to a workshop by those same things. You want to pull one of those slides up? It was the company was Equal Exchange, which is connecting fair trade practices with the local farmer to give good prices and see that fair labor practices are put into place. Because what they learned at those events is that chocolate and coffee Who likes their chocolate? Who likes their coffee? Okay, I thought so. Chocolate and coffee are actually two of the worst culprits in the entire world for forced labor and poor working conditions and not getting a fair price. And so they learned about what that's about. They learned about children working in these factories to do all of this, and the impact that it had on children, the impact that it had on families, living in poverty while still trying to have a job and making ends meet. And they walked away from there wondering what they could do, because it impacted them, profoundly impacted them. Our young people are coffee drinkers. They used to not be, and they love their chocolate too, just like we do. So after much conversation, after some research, and after a whole lot of prayer as a group, and our daughter actually was a part of that, Callie, they decided to start a fair trade coffee shop at the Coralville Church. It would be run by the youth. It would serve the Equal Exchange coffee, and by purchasing Equal Exchange, 5% of what they purchased actually went to UMCOR. Just sort of passively went to UMCOR. They made a little bit of a profit, sold it less than they did at the co-op in Coralville, just so you know. underwrote them just a little bit. And provided people with their coffee for home, but also for their coffee on Sunday morning. And they didn't charge, they just brewed it. It wasn't fancy stuff. And had some things there. And the youth got to use their working time in the coffee shop to fund their mission trips. And a little bit of the profit helped with the ministries of the youth group. They put all their tips, actually, the other thing that impacted them on this trip was they heard about Compassion International, and they adopted a compassion child, and all of their tips went to pay for his monthly expenses. And so what they discovered is that they could make a difference by making a change in their own life, and they did a great job of educating the congregation on, okay, so now you don't get your coffee for free, now you have to pay for it. But here's why you have to pay for it. Here's what's going to happen. And the congregation got around that very well, supporting that whole thing. 6 years later, as far as I know, it is actually still a thriving coffee shop run by youth at the Coralville Church. And I know that fair trade costs just a little bit more, but when we make choices in our lives, when we buy products that are made a little more morally, we are giving to Christ, because they're buying fair trade coffee and the church using it impacts lives across the globe in the ways that they're doing that. The coffee shop was their way to give to Christ. They quickly discovered that even teenagers could make a difference, and they want to make a difference. Our teenagers want to make a difference. Our young adults want to make a difference. The Apostle Paul gave up much in order to gain Christ. And I invite you to pray about what God is calling you to do individually in your lives, your financial gifts, more than your financial gifts, but maybe it's more of your time or more of the ways that you intentionally shop. I wasn't going to say this, but I really want to tell you. This other exhibit that they had was they had a world map, and they had kids look at their tag on their clothing and see where it was made. And then they put a sticker on that map. The map was probably as big as that wall over there. And then what they said is, look at where all the stickers are. This is where there is forced labor, poor labor practices. Be conscious of what you're buying, where you're buying it, how it's being made, because that's another way that we can give to Christ. You know, made in America is actually a good thing, right? I know, we like made in America because we know that fair labor practices are in place. Today, as you, we're going to have our fellowship time in the gathering place now that it's summer, but you'll see we're actually serving fair trade coffee. And you'll find that there are chocolates there that are a different kind of, it's not the fair trade thing, but it's fair labor practices, a different designation in the world because they're from Germany. Chocolate that's been harvested in an ethical way. So just try some of those things. You know, there's lots of different things out there, rainforest, fair trade, not being genetically modified, whatever your passion is. I don't know if I'm going to share that, though. Maybe I will. Caramel and sea salt? I don't know. I might share it with you. There's lots of good chocolate out there. So, but I invite you to think about how God is calling you to give to Christ, because there's lots of ways, in addition to what you put in the plate, to change your practices and follow Christ more closely. Let us pray. God of grace, God of glory, God of wonder, enter into the hearts of your people here.